You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. The show with the hottest takes.
What is the difference of the two where Zach Hyman gets a two-game suspension and Ryan Reeves comes out with a quote that says he just ran into a lion in the jungle?
Yeah, the lack of consistency from the league is impossible.
So what the hell is the difference?
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Brian Hayes, Darren Dutchy, Detition. Dutch, you never stop talking. That's why I love you. The whole break.
You get this as radio, eh? That's what
I understand.
We talk on radio.
I appreciate it.
I'm talking to Kathy. Here's the thing, though. I'm talking to the Arkells. What do you want from me,
man? Well, Max and Nick are
in here. It's a big deal for me.
It is. It's a big deal for both of us. And you guys have been in here before. It's great to see you guys again.
Bounce back, yeah.
It's always awesome to have you guys in. We just heard Relentless off the new album, Rally Cry. It's out there now. You guys got a Canadian tour coming up. We're going to get into all that stuff, but what's shaking these days with you guys?
Lots on
the platter, I would guess.
Yeah, we just got home from Europe. We were there for a couple weeks in Germany and the UK. Now we're home for the holidays. Nick actually is just very excited. Well, not excited, but
He looks excited. What have we got going, Nick?
Well, just anytime anything baseball-related happens, it's the first thing out of his mouth. And so he had a lot of thoughts on Tulo today.
Yeah, what's up? What's your take? Give us some heat here.
Well, this isn't going to be a particularly hot take, but like, it's too bad to see him go, but I get with where the Jays are at, how they want to see the kids, you know, see them play, see what they got in Gurriel and Drury and those guys.
Yeah, I heard you're a massive baseball fan.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a blogger, too, right? Like, are you chirping the mainstream media as a blogger?
Even your mom's basement blogging, huh?
Well, I am in my mom's basement sometimes, but honestly, I'm 33 now, so all the guys that I used to talk baseball with are like married with kids. They got no time for me to argue with them
right
now. Mm-hmm. So I started doing a little bit of writing.
That's awesome.
No, good for you.
And Fangraphs, I saw that you posted something about Gurriel, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just looking at his 2018 season, because he was so hot and so cold. So I wanted to just kind of see like, well, what's closer to the truth, and probably somewhere in the middle.
Well, $38 million. Tulowitzki was handed $38 million to leave, to just go away. You guys are passionate guys. I'm sure you love your craft. Is there a dollar amount someone could offer you to never pick up a musical instrument or a microphone ever again?
$38 million sounds good.
If someone handed you $38 million,
we'll start there. But we like the job, and you know, it's a good job because, you know, every month looks a little bit different, and depending on what country you're in, and the shows sort of vary in that way, and you're always sort of chasing for the next level of show and the next kind of show. So, we like the job a lot for that reason.
Well, we were talking about you guys before this. Like, Dutch, you're a big music guy. You go to a lot of concerts now.
Who are your guys? Who are your music guys?
You know what? Well, I do always have music playing in my place all the time. Always have, influenced by my father. I cannot play an instrument. I'm not musically inclined by any stretch of the imagination. But now I kind of go with my kids because they're older. My daughter is the youngest. She's 21. And so they kind of keep me somewhat relevant. Uh-huh. And so I went and saw most recently The Glorious Sun, and then Greta Van Fleet before that.
Oh, yeah.
And those were the two most recent
concerts.
They're
good rock and roll bands.
Yeah, exactly. And I like a myriad of music. I'm not definitively rock and roll. I like a lot of country. I like a lot of everything.
Sure.
I mean, you know, live music's live music. And when it gets grooving, it's awesome, whether it's blues or whatever the case may be. But yeah, so I've just been hanging out with my kids, going to concerts for the most part of the last 4 months. You know, you go check out an act. It doesn't have to be big. It can be just local and small, and sometimes that's even better.
Yeah, well, you know, for us, you know, we love so many different kinds of genres, and different bands inspire us every year, and that kind of makes its way into our own music. But sort of related, did you see that article in The Athletic today about the Leafs having a little secret jam band?
Yes, that was
so
pretty
basically
cool.
There's a bunch of the young guys have jammed together, and I think Matthews, when he recovers from his injury fully, is going to be the drummer in the band, which is hilarious. I don't know, I love when I see musicians picking up an instrument. Ryan O'Reilly, you know, he used to play for the Sabres,
yeah,
and I know St. Louis, he plays a little guitar, and he always comes out to see our shows. Scotty Upsall, he always comes out whenever we're coming through town, wherever he's playing, too.
Dude, that's awesome.
And he's like, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah,
like,
but
I
that's
can tell
the way it works, though.
You
right?
always
yeah.
see
All
that,
professional
right?
athletes want to be rock stars, and rock stars want to be professional athletes.
We play on a co-ed softball team, so yeah.
Nice. Just dying to just get out there and crush it, huh?
Yeah. What do you ever do Fangraphs on him? How was his season? What's was your season good? Did you, like, were you have up and down? Like, are you an analytics guy? Is
what's,
that
what's I mean, kind Nick's of your like these days?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely try to pay attention to them, although I'm not as good at math as most people who would say they're analytics people are. Uh-huh. But yeah, no, I'd say my softball analytics are pretty. I'm probably pretty replacement level.
Do you guys get lit up pregame? No, seriously, like, do you guys like do you have
see
a few drinks?
More than two balls, you hit the third ball.
Okay,
the
perfect.
Like the third one is the one you see if you're a little gibbled.
But are you guys like okay with that? You have a couple cocktails before? Or are you 100% serious?
No, no one's winning anything in any league we're playing.
I know, but you know, you run into trippy people sometimes that are kind of like that.
Well, they ruin the league.
Well, the issue is Nick, so we get, actually our team this season was pretty terrible and we'd get crushed. And then there'd be players on the other team taking extra bases despite being up by like 14 runs. So Nick's like, that's Bush League. And he really gives it to them. And then I have to remind, because it's like, Nick, you're in the Arkells, we're in Hamilton. Yeah. You don't want to get into a fight with, you know,
why not?
I'm the base player, it's fine.
I'm pretty much, I'll take anybody from Hamilton in a fight. You're the guys I want on my side. I've been to the Hammer.
Max and Nick of the Arkells in studio. The Canadian Rally Cry Tour starts in Edmonton the end of January. You're going to be in Toronto February 16th. You know, you're talking about that piece in The Athletic about the jam band on the Leafs, and we talk about it all the time with athletes when, you know, Joe Blow's probably spot them in the street, and they talk to them, and they corner them, and because they played, they say, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. How's that work in music? You know, does a guy ever come up to you that was a singer in a band in high school and go, dude, like, I think you can be better, or if it were me, I would have done this. Like, does that kind of stuff happen?
You know, okay, for the most part, no, but Germans like to do that.
Really?
Germans are very to the point. It's like, I came to the... I'm not going to do a German accent.
Music is good, but you need to be stronger.
Yeah, basically, it's like, I like the punk music. You are too soft for me.
Really? Like, yeah. So they like criticize the style.
Yeah,
almost.
Not even criticize. They're just very frank about their feelings. And
or
so
Frankfurt.
Good work.
I feel like in North America, it's a lot of like, oh, I got this great song idea.
Yes.
I got this great song idea for you. Ever thought about writing a song about my dog? You don't know him, but he's a great dog.
It would make for a great tune.
Yeah.
Like, I would think, like, Babcock would get that all the time. Coaches, probably more than players, right? The coaches would be like, you got to get this line together, or this guy not getting enough minutes. And, like, I would think, maybe even from you guys, as you grow and you get new albums coming out, your sound probably is evolving a little bit. I'm sure you hear from fans who have been there from the start that are like, where's this song or this album or this type of sound?
And that, we do get that sometimes. And sometimes people have like a favorite record and they go, oh, I wish the sound was more like, you know, your record from 6 years ago. But to us, like, well, first of all, that would be very boring to us to recreate the same thing over and over again. But the other thing is that we always ask, how old were you when you listened to that record? And they inevitably go like somewhere between 17 and 23, which is the most formative years of and where people really get connected to a lot of music. And so typically, the record that people can connect with most is when they're of that age. And we just recognize that and take it for what it is.
We have a really good story where typically, you know, when people are at shows, you'll hear people screaming like, play this song, play this song. There's this one kid who comes to our shows and he screams what song he doesn't want to hear.
No way.
Yeah, it's only this one guy, and we know him because it's like nobody else does that. Everyone else just screams what they want to hear.
Yeah,
just
don't play the choir, which is a deep cut off our first record.
And so do you guys just despite him play it?
We have in the past,
Yeah, why not?
Like, do you make eye contact with it? It must be like,
this is for you.
So awkward.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, kid, I'm ruining this whole concert experience for you, but we have to play this tune.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, that is outstanding.
I know. It's amazing. Rock and rollers. Well, who doesn't want to do that? Where's your favorite place to go?
Ooh. We should say it's Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon, baby.
Don't patronize
Touch.
Don't patronize him.
No, you guys are good, man.
I always want to know the backstage stories. I mean, you know, the stage people, we know what's up. But what's a backstage at an Arkells studio or a concert really look like?
It's pretty tame. We're usually talking about the show itself. And after the show, we have a good laugh over something goofy that happened.
If you watch the... Mike Judge's Tales from the Tour Bus.
No.
Have you seen it? Oh my gosh. You got to watch it. It was on TMN. It's now on Crave. And it's so Mike Judge from Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. And he goes Tales from the Tour Bus. So the first season, they now have a second season. It's semi-animated. And it's like, they have all of these countries. So you got George Jones, the possum. There's a story about him. Like, these guys are crazy. These are supposed to be legitimate stories from the tour where, you know, they've got guns and it's always liquor and pills and drugs and women. And it's all these crazy stories, like Johnny Paycheck, from who had this song called Take This Job and Shove It. He shoots this guy's ear off one time in a bar. And the stories are hilarious.
Occasionally, our drummer Tim brings some of his pals on the bus and they like to get pretty rowdy.
Yeah. One of them broke the toilet because they had been overserved and needed to use it. But here's the ironic part. We're like all annoyed this guy broke our toilet, and then we find out the next day he's a plumber.
Did he come back and fix it?
No, he was gone. No. Where we were gone, the tour bus kept moving.
Yeah, I guess you always got to keep rolling, right?
I admire that. We did the Craft Celebration tour, and it was fun, and it was only 10 days, mm-hmm. and we did go pretty hard for 10.
Oh, there's stories about you guys. The tour bus drivers are like, oh, you guys are way tamer than the Celebration tour
The
guys.
TSN Craft.
The guy's like, I'll take 50 cents, but I won't take you.
Dutch man, no way.
You know what it is, though? Like, when you're on the road, it's fun at first, and then it gets to be a real, like, it's hard. You have to be a professional, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that when you first went out, it's tough gigging all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you, to get yourself established, I can't imagine how long it took your band, because that's the way it works with
bands. Of course.
You're just out gigging, grinding.
You guys feel like you've met that? I mean, in the previous hour, I said, I think you guys are really, you've launched into a different stratosphere. When you were here in studio a couple of years ago, we were talking a lot about the hip, and, mm-hmm. and Gord Downie had just been diagnosed, and we kind of knew what was coming, and you guys were talking pretty heavy and deeply about them and their impact on yourselves and the country. But do you feel like that's kind of the trajectory you guys are on as a band? Or?
Yeah, well, we kind of recognize, like, and if you look around in any field, it's the people that take it the most seriously are the ones that have longevity, whether it's, you know, 100%. Television or in music or any industry. And we know how competitive it is out there, and also how precious it is, because everybody would like to be in a band and playing their own songs that pays the bills. And so I think as a result, we take it that much more seriously. So it's like, even on this last tour, it's like, you know, really honing in on soundcheck. And, you know, I read that Springsteen, like, to this day, like, when he's on tour with the E Street Band, does like 3-hour sound checks just to go over the bits, to have every moment sort of prepared and everyone's nimble and ready to go. So when someone holds up a sign at the show and it's a deep cut from a 1982 record or something, like, he can pull it up and he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, and I was like, oh, that's where you want to get to, and that's what makes him so great, is how much he cares.
Crazy, yeah.
So I think the minute you see a band or anybody start, you know, kind of getting comfortable, is probably when the product is going to get worse.
Nick and Max of Arkell's in studio. Springsteen, legendary for like 3.5-hour sets. Do you guys hit a point in a night where you're like, we can't go anymore? Like, where even if we felt like, you know, the facility would let us continue to go, we just can't? Like, do you run out of steam?
We don't run out of steam, but we're kind of conscious of wanting to not overextend.
Yeah,
but
right. My take is, like, you know, for every 3-hour Godfather movie, there's a bunch of 3-hour movies that nobody likes
awful.
Watching.
Right, exactly.
Leave them wanting more, kind of, is my perspective.
Which is a good thing.
It was fantastic. But it's the same thing, yeah.
The set list, though, like, do you guys, is it written in stone before you get up there? Or do you allow for flexibility, or how does that work?
I usually work out the set list. And on a tour, on a given tour, like, we like to have a bit of a rhythm, so. And there will only be maybe a couple changes every night. But you also kind of want to keep it spontaneous a little bit as well, depending on the city that you're in. And if there's any, like, songs that have local references to certain places where you're traveling to, you want to get that in there.
The new album, Rally Cry, it's out now. You can find it on Spotify. Canadian Rally Cry Tour starts in Edmonton end of January, in Toronto February 16th. Max and Nick are in here of the Arkells. And Max, you're going to be on The Voice this season? Is that is that fake news or true news?
No, that's
What's up
true.
With that?
Yeah, well, the producers of that show do the Juno Awards, so we know them, and we've done the Juno Awards a couple times, and they seem to think I'd be a good mentor for these young musicians. And, you know, it's interesting, because the two other hosts on the show, Scott Borchetta, who's famously broke Taylor Swift's career, you know, they're very dramatic about, you know, their approach to the music. And she's like, this one moment's going to change your life. And it's very be-all, end-all.
Right.
And I love Scott. It was really amazing being on set with him, because he's a really smart, prolific kind of guy. But my attitude is a little different, and that was the sensibility that I wanted to bring to the show. I was like, you know, guys, it's important that you learn from every experience, that you get better every single day. Nothing, you know, a long career means lots of little moments added up together. So, over the years, a lot of young bands have come to me asking for advice, and I'll meet them for a coffee or talk in them at the Horseshoe Tavern and just talk about the biz. So to me, it was just sort of an extension of that to be able to offer that sensibility.
Do you guys resent these shows at all? Like the idea of, you know, someone showing up out of nowhere, getting on TV. They've got talent, clearly.
Sure.
But the judges pump them up. The producers like them, so they stick around. And then before you know it, they've got album deals and they're on the radio. Like for guys that had to grind. And do you appreciate that, you know, different take on the journey or any resentment there or what?
I think both come with their challenges. When you do it that way, the expectations are a lot higher right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's pressures that come with that and like a different set of challenges than as opposed to kind of doing it in a more organic way. So, I mean, I think it, you know, you can appreciate that they're probably really working hard too.
100%. Yeah. Because there's no such thing, right? Is that overnight? You've been working for 10 exactly. years and then you're that overnight success.
Yeah, well, the kids on the show that auditioned were amazing. Like, you know, there was a couple of singer-songwriter guys on the episode that I did. That I was like, oh man, you guys are 21, 22. I was like, I was not this good when you're like, and they clearly have a future, you know?
Right. Max and Nick of Arkell's in studio again. The new album Rally Cry is out now, and the Rally Cry tour starts in Edmonton end of January. Nick, what do you expect out of your Blue Jays the rest of the offseason? Doesn't sound like they're going to be doing much.
Yeah,
they're planting the seeds for some ugliness coming up.
Yeah, I know. I think, you know what? At most, we'll see them maybe sign kind of like a back of the rotation pitcher, and kind of I think they want to go into the year again looking at these young kids they got and kind of seeing what they've got in them and how they can adjust to the majors. So it's going to be pretty quiet, I think.
Yeah, it's not going to be
Bryce
good.
Harper, or
but it's exciting that Vladdy's finally coming up, right?
Oh, very exciting.
Like, we have not experienced anything like this in a long time, where this kid. He's been in the system for a few years. We all know him. We're just waiting for him to break loose.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I think he won Minor League Player of the Year a couple days ago, Baseball America. So, yeah, it looks like he's going to hit right off the bat.
You know, Nick, when we were on tour in Phoenix in the fall, he went to an Arizona fall game.
Yeah, I went to see an AFL
the
game.
Fall League?
Yeah.
And? That's hardcore.
They didn't play him.
Oh,
we literally landed in Phoenix, and Nick's like, "See you later, guys," and went right to the field.
Dude, that's awesome. I have to go see Fall.
You know what? There's nothing like a ballpark and a beer and some peanuts, and you just hang out there.
We've been to like 15 or 20 of the stadiums on tour across America. Like we've been like, yeah, basically we're only missing a couple of the good ones, but everything from the terrible Oakland Coliseum to Wrigley Field and Fenway Park, which are beautiful.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No, Coliseum is terrible. Eh?
Would you love to play in any of those? Like, is there one in particular that you'd love to play in?
I know Springsteen and Pearl Jam have played at Wrigley and Fenway. To see a show there would be amazing. Obviously, taking a ball game would be awesome.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. All right, guys. Well, good luck with the new album and the tour coming up. When you guys are in town, we got to get you back in here. I know you'll be busy. But
yeah, come on down to Scotiabank.
It's going to be awesome, man.
Hey, and Nick and I open a sports bar in Hamilton, so come down for a drink.
Get out of here. Yeah. What's it called?
The Odds on James Street.
Get us down there.
Yeah, we'll get down there. Because there's nowhere cool to watch sports in downtown Hamilton, in our opinion. So we know some people, and we just opened it a few months ago.
Awesome. Oh, so you guys are right downtown?
Yeah.
We have an outstanding offer. The bar drinks for free if Kendrys Morales steals a base.
That's right.
I think you're safe. I think you'll be okay.
I was saying earlier, it's awesome to see him hit triples that turn out to be a single. Trying to watch him run. Hey,
we got to bring the show to the odds. Is it the Odds in Hamilton?
Odds,
is it open?
Just
Odds? Okay.
Yeah, do a live thing. Yeah, James and Augusta. Right.
Absolutely,
downtown.
Man. We'll get there. We love Hamilton.
Did you say Jameson Augusta?
No, James and Augusta.
Oh, I'm saying Jameson and Augusta. Let's get it going.
All right, boys. Good luck with everything. Great seeing you guys, as always.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Max and Nick of Arkell's Odds in Hamilton, the hot spot. Got to get there downtown Hamilton. We'll be there at some point. Dutch, you and I will take it deep one evening.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we're going to have to stay over, though. I hope they have room.
My house is right down the street.
I don't need the house, man. I just need some vacuum around me the next morning when I'm laying on the floor.
Just leave the door open for us. We'll be there. Bob McKenzie will join us next. Great to see the Arkells in studio. Transitioning into some Justin Timberlake for your liking, Dutchie. Dude. You're a JT guy, I would assume.
Well, my favorite thing about him is he's a scratch golfer.
Is that right?
Dude. He throws darts.
Doesn't surprise me.
No.
He's got time on his hands.
Yeah, get out there. How multi-talented. Do you know how hard it is to be a scratch?
It's scary.
The guy can sing, he can dance. Dude, yeah. I could play every day and never get to a scratch.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just
I could be a lot better than I am if I played every day, but I wouldn't hit scratch.
Me too.
No way. World Junior Camps officially underway out west. Mark Masters has been shipped out.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Mack has been shipped out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. What's the vibe like out there, Bob?
It's wet.
Okay.
Same as the last time. Same as 2006, eh?
Yeah. Well, they said the weather in Vancouver and Victoria has been great the last couple of months, but you know, it was a nice day yesterday when I got here, but she's a pouring rain today, I'll tell you that much. So stereotypical BC weather, I guess.
Hey, Bobby, you know what I found funny was yesterday I was writing a lead for Mark's story, and I had thought that it had been there since 2006, but 2006 was the last time that the city of Vancouver, I was out there at that World Juniors, and it was great because Phil Kessel was the stud for the Americans, Evgeny Malkin was the stud for the Russians, Johnny Taves played on the Canadian team, but if you look at that roster, and Canada smashed Russia in the final, they completely shut down Malkin, Sutter had them wound up, and it was a great, great tournament. The crowds were unbelievable. I do remember this, Bob, though. You remember how vociferously they booed the American team? I remember Phil Kessel's family was to the right of where I was, and there was some sort of soft lumber tariff issue that was going on between our countries, and that was the first time. And I understand it's a border city, so it's a little bit different. You know, you get tired of playing the Americans. They probably get tired of playing us, but boy, they went at them hard.
You know what, Dutchie? They're still talking about your performance at that World Juniors. At least we are. So that's number one.
Yeah. Honestly, I will honestly say I was probably the MVP that year. I had an MVP type World Juniors in 06.
That was your coming out party for sure.
Wow.
Anyway, comeback player of the year. So, anyways, that's another story entirely. But you're right about the 06 and. And remember that Jack Johnson had a phantom elbow and everybody was upset about that. And you're absolutely right. It was a phenomenal tournament. And everything you underlined, and you talked about Brent Sutter having the boys wound up, that was World Junior. Like, it had to be one of the most physical World Juniors I've ever seen. Gordon Miller and I were talking about this on Leafs Lunch one day. Ryan O'Meara ran about 250 feet, which is hard to do in a 200-foot arena. To hit Evgeny Malkin and take him out. And Steve Downey was crashing and banging and running from 100 feet, knocking guys through the end boards. And man, oh man, it underlines how much the way the game is played has changed. And that was 2006. So here we are 13 years later. And you wouldn't even recognize the style of play from that World Junior to this World Junior. And that's not to say there's no hitting now. But man, oh man, it's much more of a speed and skill and puck control game. And I was talking about this last week too. There's new rules in the IIHF this year on interference. And they're going basically zero tolerance. If a player has let the puck go from his stick, he's not eligible to be hit. There's no such thing as finish your check in the IIHF anymore. And it's going to be fascinating to see how these games are called and how hard it is for North American players to adjust to a basically zero tolerance on hitting a guy if the puck's gone. If you hit a guy and the puck's already off the stick, the 2-minute minor penalty, unless you were already committed to the hit when the guy got rid of it, that's a discretion call. But, you know, that's a 2-minute minor. Now, if you really lower the boom on a guy, i.e. Reeves on Tom Wilson, that's suspendable. In the IIHF from here on in. So zero tolerance on head and neck contact, zero tolerance on hitting guys when they don't have the puck. The IIHF is going down a road the NHL is not going, but in the meantime, for things like the World Juniors and World Championships, there could be a huge difference between what we're used to seeing and how the referees call the games.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. Bob's out in BC. The World Junior Camp is officially underway. And there's obviously a lot of, you know, big-name talent that is in the camp, and I'm sure once we get to the games, the focal point will be on who the big boys are on Canada, and by the end of it, we'll know all 13 forwards, all 7 and 8 D, 2-3 goalies. But from my standpoint, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this feels like the Jack Hughes showcase. Is that simplifying it too much, or is that basically going to be the narrative the whole tourney?
That's going to be the narrative, and we say that even though we know that it's not easy for draft-eligible kids to come in and dominate this tournament. But when they're special players like a Connor McDavid, then there is a level of expectation that that player is going to be the player that everybody talks about. And I can only tell you this, when they had the summer camp, I wasn't there, but when they had the summer camp in, I think it was Kelowna in August, and it was Canada, the United States, and a couple of European teams, Jack Hughes was by far the best player on the ice out of any of the countries that were there. And it's going to be another step up in competition, and things are for real once they start on December 26th. But there's no question that Jack Hughes and his brother Quinn, who's, of course, a Vancouver Canuck draft pick, and that's really got the fans out here on Lower Mainland really stoked, because U.S. is going to be based here in Victoria, and Vancouver Canuck fans are really excited to see how Quinn Hughes looks on Team USA, and he's expected to have a huge role on the blue line as an offensive defenseman. And obviously what Jack Hughes is going to do, and you know, the Canucks are winning a few more games than maybe people thought they were going to win this year. But they could still find their way into the lottery and find out whether Quinn's got bunk beds to bring to Vancouver to his brother.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something, eh?
That's exactly what they need. I mean, you pair Jack Hughes exactly. with Pettersson, and then you got Quinn coming. You've got Horvat, who's
Brock
been rolling.
Brock Besser.
Yep. I mean, that is setting up for a pretty nice future, I would think, in Vancouver.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. And Hughes is obviously the projected number one and clear number one for this year's draft. Started a little slow this season, talking to the scouts, but in a recent Five Nations tournament a few weeks ago in Europe, he just shredded it. He just tore it apart. So I think he's setting up nicely to be the guy that everybody's going to talk about coming in. But, you know, I think the American under 18 team that he plays on is fantastic. It might be the best U.S. under 18 team they've ever had. The Austin Matthews led U.S. under 18 team was pretty good, but everybody thinks this one's even better.
Wow.
But the U.S., but their World Junior team, I know Craig Button in our countdown show said they're good, they're very good, and there's lots to be excited about, but they're not, you know, clear or prohibitive favorites. So, you know, that can factor in how a guy like Hughes might play as well.
Hey, Bobby, not to compare him to an NHL player, I haven't seen Hughes play. You clearly have. Whose game does he resemble, though?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, it's kind of funny. When I first saw him play, he was playing minor midget for the Toronto Marlies in the Greater Toronto Hockey League. And I thought, even though he plays center, and at the time, dimension-wise, very similar, he reminded me a lot of Mitch Marner, but with a little more, you know, a little more power and a little more dynamic. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
Because Mitch is really, but he just seemed to be a little, a little faster, more dynamic skater than Mitch. He's very, very, very elusive and was dominant in junior hockey. But Mitch Marner, Clayton Keller, you know, those are the kinds of players. He makes everybody on the ice better. Gets the pucks very quickly, even though he's not big. I think he's listed as 5'11", 165, 160, maybe 170, if that. But he's strong on pucks, and he's really got a dynamic first step, and very quick and agile, and sees the ice extremely well, makes everybody on the ice better. But he's also got tremendous goal scoring ability. So that's the type of player, very explosive player, and as I said, makes everybody on the ice better, the same way Marner and Keller and Patrick Kane and those types of players do.
With Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, Leafs Canes tonight down in Carolina. You can watch it on TSN 4. We haven't had a chance to catch up with you ever since all hell broke loose in the city because the Leafs lost two games, and you know, now they're the softest team in the history of the league, and something's got to give. What's your take on this whole conversation? I'm sure you're aware of it, Bob, but you know, this Leaf team, they're built differently. You talk about, you know, a change of era and a change of approach to the game. This Leaf team does not mirror the teams of the 80s or the 90s or the early 2000s. Where do you stand on all this?
Yeah, you just measure up against the other teams. And I know since Washington won last year and they played a pretty heavy game for as much speed and skill as they've got, lots of size too. But ultimately, you know, the speed and skill wins out. And the Leafs kind of are what they are. I don't know, but hey, listen, if you can go out and get some power forwards that are elite, I mean, you know, Alexander Ovechkin's a big man, but, you know, that's not what makes, you know, he's first and foremost, he's a goal scorer. And so I don't know that the Leafs dramatically need to change the complexion of their team, as much as they just need to compete hard when the game gets turned up and it is physical. You've got to have the ability to go with it, and I think they do. And the games, again, at the end of the day, it usually reverts to speed and skill, but you got to be prepared to do some battling too. And I don't know that you can necessarily go out and get in a quick trade or a quick fix. You know, 6'3" or 6'4" power forwards that can score 30 or 40 and knock everybody all over the ice either.
No, you know what, Bobby? I always believe that the playoffs are a learned process, and I honestly think that Marner's, Matthews, Nylander, they will be the better for it this year's postseason, having gone through what they went through last year.
Absolutely. That's part of the, you know, Vegas kind of spoiled us all for having that attitude. I've always kind of just assumed and believed that if you're going to be successful in the playoffs, you need to be unsuccessful. Now, how many failures did the Washington Capitals
exactly
have before they finally got there? And it was kind of weird that they were ultimately triumphant over a team that was in their first year in the National Hockey League, which kind of threw that whole you got to pay your dues before you can ultimately win the prize. But, you know, they came real close, Vegas did, to winning the prize without paying any dues whatsoever. So I don't know how much of that is still true, but I still think that, you know, the best foundation for success is failure. And sometimes, you know, it strains the loyalty of fans, because in the case of the Caps, I mean, Caps fans, probably a lot of them gave up on this team ever winning a cup with this core, and lo and behold, they did it, and they exercised the demon of the Pittsburgh Penguins along the way. So, you know, losing to Washington 2 years ago, losing to the Bruins last year, losing to the Bruins on Saturday night, and all these lessons along the way, you know, not playing as well as they should have against the Detroit Red Wing team that really kind of took them to the woodshed in a lot of ways the other night. You know, those are all valuable learning experiences, and that's how you develop that thick outer layer, and you get tougher and mentally tougher, physically tougher, and do all the things you need to take the next step when it matters most.
Well, and in reality, Tampa's kind of in a similar position.
Oh, 100%. They're the new Washington.
Yeah, they won the round last year, but they I guess they got through a couple of rounds, but then they ended up losing, and they're a team, like, all they do is win in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a formality that they're going to end up with 115 points, and they're loaded with skill, and, you know, similar debates and similar questions. And during the regular season, I mean, these two teams, they're both first and second overall in the league. So.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about that, and you got to know that each away it's Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman and those core guys that got to the Stanley Cup final against Chicago and didn't get it done and haven't gotten back to the final since then. And that's the hard part. You know, the window's open. It's never been more open for the Tampa Bay Lightning than it is right now. But, you know, if you fail to get all the way there, over time, the window starts to close. So I'm sure that they feel like, you know, that's a real good example of a team that's paid its dues and thinks they're due now.
Absolutely. They really are like Washington. And now Braden Point, who is so good. He is such a good player, and Yanni Gord. So they are going to have some contractual stuff down the stretch, too, where they're going to, like, in the next couple of years. So their window, it is now, with what they're paying Stamkos, what they've got Kucherov for. When you take a look at the back end, the addition of Ryan McDonagh. So, yeah, this is. We'll see if John Cooper can get it done with this team this year. I like their chances.
It's going to be fascinating, because you're right. The Braden Point one is going to be a tough contract to do, but it's, you know, they'll get you to Matthews, Marner, Line A, Kyle Connor, Matthew Tkachuk, Brock Besser, the list goes on and on. But, you know, one of the advantages, I guess, they've got is that, you know, now next year, Kucherov's 9.5 kicks in next season. And then you've got Stamkos on the money that he's making, that, you know, and Hedman took I'll call it a club-friendly deal. Could have got a lot more. Mm-hmm. He went to Mm-hmm. He went to free agency. He could have got a lot more than what he's making there. And so they've got some, what I would call, I don't want to call them speed bumps, but call them, for if you're Braden Point or any player on the Tampa Bay Lightning, you would look at Kucherov's deal at 9.5 and Stamkos' deal at less than that and Hedman's deal at less than 8. And you would say, okay, those guys took less. Maybe I should take less too. Or in the case of Point, it might even be, you know what, maybe I'll have to sign up for the Kucherov bridge deal that he did. He did a 3-year bridge deal. That's probably where maybe Point cut it, even though a player of his stature should probably get a 7 or 8 year contract. The thing I find interesting is there are no speed bumps on the Toronto Maple Leafs. When Marner and Matthews go to do their deals, you know, they look and they go, oh, there's Tavares. He's making 11. And Nylander's making almost 7, and he sat out to get that. So there's nothing you need to feel guilty about when you ask for 10, 11, or 12 if you're those guys. Whereas in Winnipeg, when Line A and Connor say, Line A goes to ask for 10 or 11, and Scheifele's at 6 and change, and Wheeler's at 8, and you know, those, again, just something that might moderate how a player views his own value on his own team and what other guys have done ahead of him in terms of taking one for the team. And outside of Morgan Riley, who's on a club-friendly deal, there aren't a lot of prime, tangible examples of that on the Leafs. And that's kind of what they need here if they're gonna you know, split this atom, the salary cap atom, over the next number of years.
Enjoy it out there, Bob. We'll do it again later in the week.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks,
Bob McKenzie,
Bobby.
Our TSN Hockey Insider. Out in Vancouver, I believe. Yes. Maybe Victoria.
He's in Victoria today.
He's in Victoria.
Yeah, camp open in Victoria today. They're going to split it.
And the World Juniors will be in Vancouver and Victoria starting Boxing Day.
Yes, less than 2 weeks away now.
Less
I love this tournament,
away.
Man.
It's always fun, man. It comes up quick. Like, you don't pay attention to it, then all of a sudden, boom, it's go time. And back on Canadian soil, it's going to be a fun one.
It's always been my favorite when it's here, clearly, because of the Canadian fans. And I did love, like, in Halifax and Red Deer and Vancouver and Saskatoon. I liked back in the day when the Canadian club came out, usually in the gold medal game, and the first 5 minutes where they were just running around like wild dogs, just smashing everything. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, the crowd's going crazy. They're running people. Dude, great.
I was at the gold medal game in Halifax in 2003, and Jordan Tootoo
was awesome.
That was Tootoo's tournament where all he did was crush people. That's all he did was crush.
I heard that building was insane, too. I heard Bobby talk about it.
Crazy how it was amazing. I was right behind the net. I was about 10, 12 rows up. I'll never forget that game. It was amazing. And they lost.
Yeah,
Russia won that game.
Yeah,
like Ovechkin, I believe, was on that team, and it was an incredible atmosphere. So thanks to Bob. Leafs in action tonight. We'll tee that up. We'll get to our best bets. Brought to you by ProLine. Recap what has been a pretty wild afternoon. Troy Tulowitzki, take a lap. See you later. Here's 38 sheets. Lou Marsh Award winner has been announced. Yep. We'll tell you about that. Dutchie's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Boston, couple wins in a row. They're at home against Arizona on the Bruins tonight. Buffalo at home against LA. The Sabres, I saw they had a team meeting, I believe yesterday, saying we got to get after it here. They've been kind of struggling. They had a great start.
Mm-hmm.
This is the opportunity. The LA Kings are in town.
Yep.
Take advantage of a bad team. And Columbus at home against Vancouver. Throw down 20. You can score 59. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
When do those picks hit Twitter, by the way?
They're up there real quick.
Because I might throw a few bucks on that.
Attaboy.
Dude, I'm
feeling
so cold
good about
right
it.
Now. All I bet is the NFL. And I
was on a heater for a while, and then I've really cooled off.
Well, maybe.
That's gambling for you.
Oh, dude, it's the worst.
Yeah. But tonight's the night I dig out.
I hope so.
I'm going to start digging out of this
ditch. Let's do it.
I'm feeling it. What about the Leafs tonight? How are you feeling about
that? Oh, I think they bounce back and win. You know what? There's nothing wrong with a little humility once in a while. Mm-hmm. So they lose those two games. They didn't like the way that they had played against Boston. You heard Johnny T and the rest of the team talk about it. And there's nothing wrong with a reassessment or an adjustment and having a little bit of an edge. Sometimes when you get your feelings hurt, you know, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you just learning address experience. It 100%. So you come out and you play better. Dude, smash them tonight.
Well, and Carolina's not a rough and tumble team. They're not going to come out and try to instigate anything. They're going to try to skate you into the ground. Yeah. And, you know, high shot volume team, that's what they do. The Leafs were down at Carolina just a couple of weeks ago, and it was absurd the amount of shots on net early.
Remember that game? Yeah, the first period.
It's like 29 shots
or
something.
And I'm like, dude, who's the twitchy guy that had too much coffee and his fingers just hit the shot clock?
It felt like a bit of fake news, like, but still, man, the Leafs were, it was an onslaught, and Carolina would get after it. So the Leafs,
and then didn't they hold them to like three shots in the second period or something? It was so,
wasn't good.
Diametrically opposed. It was really weird that game.
Yeah. Yeah. But I expect a different approach tonight. Sure. I think the Leafs will be much better tonight. I do. Good teams respond to some adversity, and that's
better.
What it is.
Let's be honest. Look at their roster.
They're a better team.
Way better than
they're
Carolina.
They're a better team. Troy Tulowitzki handed a $38 million parachute out of Toronto. See you later.
Let me ask you this question, because you asked the Arkells this. How much would it take for you to be like, all right, Brian Hayes is no longer on overdrive. I am out the door.
You know what I would do is I would take the money and say, give me one more show.
No, but then it would just be, it would be the best show you ever did.
Oh, it would be incredible radio.
Dude, we all have that dream.
Please give me that dream.
But how many schmillies would it take?
Well, 30. If you gave me 38, you'd never see me again. I don't know. Five? Can you live off $5 million the rest of your life?
You got a burgeoning family. Yeah, of course you can. You got a young family.
I like it too much, Dutch.
But that's
I like being
what
on the radio.
Say.
I like being
what do you
on the
do?
Radio.
I've had that thought process.
This is what
too.
I love to do, man.
I know.
And Tulowitzki still loves playing baseball. He wants to play somewhere else. He's not retiring.
That's what I'm saying. Like if I hooked something like that, like what do I do, huh?
Mm. I think he's a proud guy.
What would I do for the
with
rest
that kind of
my? What am I going to go? I like golfing, but.
Yeah,
like my liver would take a beating.
That's the thing. Like, he's a pretty serious guy, Tulo. I think he lives in Vegas. He's a bit of a Golden Knights fan. Maybe buys a couple of luxury suites, hangs out at the games, hits the tables. Vegas is a dangerous place, though, to go and retire with money.
Yeah, no
very,
chance.
Very dangerous.
No, pop in, pop out.
Yeah, it's a catch and release type of town. Every day of the week.
Yeah, a lot of people caught a lot of things in that town.
Yes, there's a lot of fish in the sea that is known as Vegas. All right, Dutch, good seeing you, man.
My pleasure.
Enjoy
Thank you
your
for
evening
having
tonight.
Me.
It's always great to see you, buddy.
It was my pleasure. Other than Steve Simmons, it was great.
Yeah, you and Steve had a pretty good duel.
Well, no, he was disparaging. He's like, how many? Anyways,
he
don't want to revisit
anti,
it. He's like,
well, he's,
anti,
guy.
He's like, there's one country, LPGA golf. Yeah. Take a look at the top 15, Simmons.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The top 15 money earners this year.
Find the podcast, Dutchie V. Simmons. Good seeing you, man. There's Darren Detition.
My pleasure. Thanks
We're
for having
here.
Me.
I'm Brian Hayes. Back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.